Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East. The very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
The history of Persia is intertwined with conquest. It began with conquest when Cyrus, king of a small city called Anshan, set out to build the greatest empire the world had ever seen. In a series of stunning campaigns, he achieved just that, becoming one of the greatest conquerors in history and basically started Persian history. After all, you don't get the title the Great for nothing. But he wouldn't be the last great Persian conqueror. Other Persian rulers like Darius the Great, Mithridates I, and Ardashir I would go on to become great conquerors on their own, establishing their own great empires and legacies. If you want to hear their story, and the stories of other great conquerors, many of whom are far less famous despite their great achievements, join me, Ramzi Shalah, on my podcast, The Conquerors Podcast, available on all platforms you listen through.
Kyrie eleison,
Salamai Kyrie eleison,
Kyrie eleison,
Salamai Kyrie eleison.
Achalzanas migachvaman horon goitanu as, enaj veshishva chalidi chela mogechar.
Salamai Kyrianessa, Salamai Kyrianessa.
Gamar Zhoba, and welcome to the history of Saakashvili, Georgia. I'm your host, Roberto. This episode is called The Georgia Journals. I want to thank everyone who donated to the GoFundMe and who donates regularly on Patreon. You're all amazing, and I love you for making this stream possible. So, thank you. I have finally returned from my trip abroad to Georgia after nearly 40 hours of travel back to my current town. During this time, I was able to reflect on all of my experiences as I returned back to the States and write down the amazing time that I had while I was there. First of all, Georgia was a magical place. I have never been to a country where the people have been nicer and even through a language barrier, would be happy to assist you in whichever way they could. It helped that I could speak some Georgian, thanks to Bekan Gvansa from Hoda, Georgia, for teaching me. And when the Georgians couldn't speak English, I would begrudgingly ask if they spoke Russian, because I know that they don't really like to. But I made a conversation possible. I also made a series of friends in the hostels that I visited, and I hope to see them in the future and spend more time with them once I do. It'll be great to just kind of explore with people that you've met, because you know they like exploring. I do plan on returning to Georgia in the future and visiting more of the locations that I missed, such as Mingrelia and Svaneti, and also Ajara, which is basically along the coast and in the mountains. Of course, as I go into the daily audio journal, I'm not going to mention people's names, for the sake of their privacy, except for the one fan who met me on the trip. You support the show, you reached out, you get named. But overall, this was a trip of a lifetime, and as a research trip, I came back with 8 books full of content that I can use to add to the show and also get a better frame of reference for the things that we're talking about. Mind you, it won't cover our time period currently as much in depth because it's not meant to be for that time period, it's meant for future time periods, because we have Procopius and Agathias to assist us with that right now. But I am excited that this was a very successful research trip. I was able to visit different sites and locations that we talked about on the show, and now that I have a better frame of reference for, I could actually identify more of the things that we talked about. But now, I guess it's time to go into the journal. I was there for 16 days, so I have 16 days full of content. Day 1, May 5th, 2024. I have finally arrived in Georgia after a 7-year absence. First of all, I would like to thank everyone that supported my journey here, and I'm more than happy to see the updates. I arrived at the Tbilisi International Airport at around 3 a.m., which made for a great way to ensure that I have jet lag for the rest of my trip, which luckily I did not. One of my friends graciously let me stay in their flat for the remainder of the night while I waited for my hostel to allow check-ins. Of course, Being as exhausted as I was, this led me to sleep at around 5 a.m. and wake up at 1:30, which for me is weird as I'm an early bird, but it was very dark in the room so I could finally hibernate for a bit. I left their apartment and made my way to the hostel, which is called Fabrica, which is an old abandoned sewing factory which was converted into a hostel, and is a really cool and chic place full of restaurants, shops, bars, and a general community gathering for events. It's really cool. After check-in, I left the hostel and made my way to explore some of the places that I've seen. So I walked down to Ioane Chateveli Street, which is a really cool street with some nice sights around it, such as the Rezo Gabriadze Clock Tower. This is a marionette theater, and at noon and at 7 p.m. we'll play a short puppet show called The Circle of Life. It's not the Disney song, so don't worry about that. It's just a small Georgian play. Anyways, the tower itself is really cool because it appears to be stacked in a variety of different ways and gives it a nice funky look. And with it being Pascha when I arrived, and me being Orthodox, I made my way down to the Antiskhati Basilica to take part of the services there, pray, and continue exploring. The Antiskhati Basilica is the oldest surviving church in Tbilisi from the 6th century and was built on the order of King Dachi, who was the son of Vakhtang Gorgasali, once the capital was officially moved to Tbilisi. This is a really cool basilica, and the priests inside were very helpful, speaking a mix of Russian and English with me to make sure that I understood what was going on. And then we were also able to chat about everything and hear all about my experiences in becoming Orthodox. They were very excited about that. I spent about 40 minutes inside, and then because the priest began to do some chanting and prayers, and I made my way further down into Tbilisi. I left the Antiskhati Basilica and went down the street to the Mitkvari River, and there I passed by the Tbilisi Sioni Cathedral. Sioni is a very common church name, so you will hear different Sioni churches marked by their corresponding city names. Anyways, the original church was ordered built by Vakhtang Gorgasali, but was consequently destroyed by the Arabs, and then David the Builder, who we will cover during Georgia's Golden Age, rebuilt it where it originally was. Anyways, I love churches, and I had to go into this one for one reason and one reason only. This is where St. Nina's Grapevine Cross is located. This is the most important relic in all of Georgia, aside from the remains of St. Nino at the Borbe Monastery. What is even more wonderful is the beauty of the church when you walk in, where icons are everywhere, from standing icons to ones painted onto the walls. However, you can actually see St. Nino's cross as you go into the church, and it's in the iconostasis, which is the big wall near the altar that has a bunch of icons, so I was able to go up and venerate the relics. From there, I walked to the Meteki Church, which is located on a cliff that offers a gorgeous view of the old town, Nadikalik Fortress, and the Katlis Deda, which is the mother of Georgia, which is a large statue, which is of a woman holding up a bowl of food and a sword, so you know, essentially saying the Georgians will be your friend, but they will also be your enemy if you cross them. It's a very cool piece of Soviet monumentalism, and is one of my favorite statues in the whole city. Well, the Metiki Church also has a large statue of Vakhtang Gorgasali overlooking the Mitkvari River and the old town, which makes me feel as if the founder of the city still looks over the domain. Georgian Orthodox tradition states that the Meteki Church is also where St. Shushanik was buried. However, we have no evidence to confirm that fully as of now. I then made my way to the old town and went to the sulfur baths. For those who are caught up with the show, Tbilisi was founded when Vakhtang Gorgasali went hunting, and his hawk and the pheasant he was going after dived into the hot waters and were cooked. So these locations are a probable site of where that took place. However, it being sulfur baths, you can definitely smell that it is sulfur. What's nice is that as you go down the path, you're also led to the Lektakevi waterfall, which is a natural waterfall in the middle of Tbilisi. However, the path was closed down due to falling rocks, but I could see it in the distance, so it was still a good sight. From there, I made my way back to Fabrica, and I made friends with some of the people in my room, and we went to this really cool bar near the Orbeliani Palace, which is a president's home, called The Secret Place. It's a nice small bar, very punk and vegan themed, so it's great for those who want to partake in cocktails and still keep their diet. They also had a great curry vegan burger. And from there, we went to Deda Enna Park, which is apparently where the fitness influencers love to do their calisthenics videos. Also, there were about 5 stray dogs who followed us the whole time. Well, they were cute, they were strays, and probably flea-ridden, so I did not pet that dog. And then we returned to the hostel and fell asleep. Day 2, May 6, 2024. Despite falling asleep at a reasonable time, which is 11 p.m., I woke up 2 hours later at 1 a.m., and could not fall back asleep, so I did get that jet lag. I spent the night tossing and turning, and continued to read Les Mis for a while. However, once the sun shone, I went to get breakfast and made my way back into town. There I walked into Prospero's Books, which is an English bookstore on Crustavelli Avenue. There, thanks to you all, I was able to purchase a wide variety of Georgian history books in English that are impossible to find while in the USA. I did spend the next few hours sitting down and reading as I drank some tea, because I wanted to kind of see what the books had in them. From there, I went down to Freedom Square, but did not participate in the protests as there were none at that time. It's today. It's a very beautiful location and has a large column with St. George slaying the dragon on top of it in shining gold. There, I took a taxi up to Vacke Park and walked around the area in this gorgeous place. There's a World War II memorial to victory located up there, but I did not walk all the way up because I was tired, hungry, and had to be somewhere at 1 p.m. I could see it from where it was, and it was still a pretty cool sight. Then I spent time with my friend Gio's family and from Fight Hot Podcast, and there had a variety of pasta foods, a few bottles of wine to the point where I was seeing double and falling asleep, and played the Georgian card game Joker. I would need to play this again with some people, and I am definitely making an episode to teach you all how to play, possibly a video with a Georgian friend. We played that for a bit, and then I went back to Fabrica, where I met up with a few friends. We went to this cool cafe called Stamba, which had a mix of cuisines there, and returned back to sleep, which, lo and behold, I could actually sleep for once. I think the wine helped. Day 3, May 7th, 2024. It's a super rainy day currently, so I decided to sit and actually get some work done for my podcast. However, I became quite hungry on my day of lazing around and went to the Georgian restaurant named Pasanauri, which is where I had my last meal in Georgia in 2017. It was still as good as always, and I had shon chachashuli, which is quite delicious with a good amount of Georgian bread. Luckily, I would spend most of my day walking this meal off, because woohoo, the rain stopped and I walked down to the National Museum of Georgia, where I saw exhibits on the different treasures of Georgia in antiquity, weaponry from India and Japan, as well as the more ancient prehistoric artifacts. Most of the other exhibits were closed and I did not know why, but hopefully that will be rectified in the future. From there, I walked back to the Sioni Cathedral, bought some crosses for some friends, then my way back to the Narikala Fortress. Of course, my lazy self took the cable car up because I was not going to hike up an actual mountain with how tired I was becoming from walking all around the city, and had a fun experience going over the Mekvati River from above. Once there, I received the worst news. Narikala was closed to help improve the framework and preserve it for longer. Well, it is a positive thing. I wanted to go inside the fortress once more, and that was the closest I could get to it. I did go down the path to see the Kartli's Deda, the mother of Georgia, and made my way back to the hostel once I came back down via cable car. I'm not gonna walk down. Afterwards, I met my friends and Georgian teachers Bekan Gvansa from Hola, Georgia, and together we had Lobiani and Hinkali, and we walked down to Rusavelli and had a great time seeing different locations such as universities and putting out where famous Georgian people lived or died. It was a very great time, and I'm excited for the time I spent with them. Day 4, May 8th, 2024. I went up to the Tanamita Skieta with two of my friends from the hostel. However, before we went all the way there, we made a stop at the Chronicles of Georgia, which is a large monument created by Zurab Tseretelli that has murals of the kings of Georgia and has images of Christ all over it. It's one of those places that I've gotten even a glimpse of what a king may have looked like, and I may have used for the show pictures as well. And I absolutely love seeing it in person. It is massive. And then on the end, you can see a fantastic view of the Tbilisi Sea, which is a large water reservoir, and is absolutely just a stunning blue. From there, we finally went up to Mitoskieta and went to the San Tavador Convent, which is a famous place because it houses the rose bush where St. Nino slept under while she was converting Christians, and also houses the relics of Miriam III and his wife Nana. So I was able to venerate the relics of Miriam III because I am Miriam under Orthodoxy, so that is my Christian name. Afterwards, we had a nice walk down to the center where I asked for directions in Georgian, and, you know, after figuring out which way to go, I made my way down to the Svetitskoveli Cathedral. This is the one we have talked about quite often. This is where Christ's tunic is buried, but is also the final resting place of Vakhtang Gorgasali. I venerated both pieces, and also the footbone of St. Andrew the Apostle, and had a great time talking to a priest about Orthodoxy, or what it means to be Orthodox in different nations. However, he did have to go and do work, and my compatriots were starting to starve, so we went down to a cafe along the Aragvi River, which was really nice and chill. We just kind of relaxed there, took in the sun. We had a little cat that kind of came and hung out with us. We ate some khachapuri, drank some tea, and made our way back because we went up to the Jvadi Monastery, which is a church that set up the trends for all future Georges in Georgia and Armenia. It offers a beautiful view of Mitoskieta from above, and you can see the Aragvi and Mekvati combining together. It's also nice to walk around the grounds. You can see the mountains and valleys all around the area, and it offers quite picturesque scenes.
Hello and bonjour. My name is Josh Zucker, and I want to take you on a journey through some of the most exciting events of the late Middle Ages. Valois Burgundy was one of the medieval world's greatest what-ifs. Its dukes inherited, conquered, and politicked their way into forging a state between the German Empire and the Kingdom of France that rivaled them both. From the Hundred Years' War to the Holy Roman Empire, from urban workers to Joan of Arc, and from gallant knights to gunpowder weapons, the Grand Dukes of the West had a part to play in almost all of Western Europe's biggest developments in the 14th and 15th centuries. If you want to learn more about the glamorous rise and dramatic fall of the Dukes of Burgundy, please join me for Grand Dukes of the West, A History of Valois Burgundy.
Hello, everybody. This is Trevor Cully, host of the History of Persia podcast. From about 550 to 330 BC, most of the Middle East was ruled by the Achaemenid Persians. The Achaemenids pioneered the concept of a truly multinational empire, which incorporated people from as far away as India and Greece for over 200 years. The story of Persia discusses the fall of ancient civilizations, the origins of endurance racing, 300 Spartans, the March of the 10,000, and at least one evil priest who replaced and impersonated the king, all before falling with the dramatic close at Alexander the Great's conquests. If that story and the story of the cultures that surround it sound interesting to you, check out The History of Persia at historyofpersiapodcast.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Day 5, May 9th, 2024. And this was very exciting. I got to meet my first fan ever. I met Konstantin, a Georgian local who listens to my show, and together we walked up to the Botanical Gardens. We walked around the beautiful nature, talked about Georgian history, and it felt amazing to talk to someone that knew more about me on the subject for once. It was a great experience, and we stopped several times to take in the sights and for me to catch my breath because I am very out of shape and mountains are not my best friend. From there, we walked to the Pantheon, to Mitatsminda. By walking, I mean we took a taxi up to the top, which is the homes of the graves of important Georgian people and cultural icons of Georgia, such as Ide Chachavadze, who's a father of the Georgian nation, Nikopiros Mani, a naive art painter, and Galaktion Tabidze, the king of the poets. It was very surreal seeing all the people buried there that I had talked about, and it made it so much more real. From there, we walked down, and we went to this really cool cafe, which we had really nice khachapuri at. So, Konstantin, thank you for the amazing day, and I hope to see you again in the future. Day 6, May 10th, 2024. On this day, I went to the wine festival called Zero Compromise, where I could try all the different organic dry wines from different distributors in Georgia and around some places in Europe. I tried some different liqueurs as well, such as chacha and a nice Saparavi liquor, which was absolutely delicious. I did, however, get quite drunk due to trying so much wine, and not realizing until it was too late that I should probably spit out and dump out the wines they gave me to try. I don't remember much of the festival after that. I know I did get something to eat, and I did get home somehow, but I decided that I had to get some Hingali to eat to absorb everything, just because I had way too much wine. So I went out with some friends to get Hingali afterwards. Day 7, May 11th, 2024. I took this time to go to Signahi, which is a very famous place in Georgia as part of the wine region and the city of love. Most Georgian couples will come out here to get married because of the picturesque views and wineries. I went with a group of people from the hostel, and we had a great time talking about the Pakmashruka that was there and very uncomfortable early in the morning. Upon arrival, we went to drop off one of our hostel mates at their guest house, since they would let them relieve themselves of their heavy bag. We walked up the mountain to see the viewpoint there. It was really cool seeing the mountains in the background and the rolling wine hills. From there, we walked down and ate at Pheasant's Tears, which is one of the famous wineries in the area, and I actually had several people recommend that I go eat and drink there. We ordered a ton of food while we were there and a nice bottle of Quinta wine. We did learn about their views on providing healthy food without additives to ensure that we can have a healthy and eating and drinking experience, which I thought was actually very nice of them to kind of explain their viewpoints because the food was sure delicious and so was the wine. After we ate and we had our bellies full, we walked to different places and took a taxi to St. Nino's Spring. There, one can get blessed water from her spring and also dip into the water and be blessed. So I submerged my foot to aid with ongoing foot issues and instantly felt better and lost pain for quite a while. From there, we went up to the Badabe Convent, where Nino was actually buried, I bought an icon of Nino and put it on her relics while I venerated and got the icon blessed as well as some crosses. This was a magical experience and we walked around the grounds for a while and just kind of took in the sights and the pictures. We returned to Signahi and from there decided to get some tea and sweets at a nice outdoor cafe as we waited for our marshutka to basically fill up and get ready to leave. I had a nice Earl Grey with cottage cheesecake. And we also met some really cool people on the bus, whose contact info I got, and I've been messaging them since. It was really fun to chat with them as well. Day 8, May 12, 2024. I got up early once more and made my way to Stepansminda, which is in the Kazbegi region of Georgia. It was a long drive and another marshrutka, which luckily, this one was nearly empty, so I had the whole back row to lay down in and kind of enjoy. Once we made it there, we had a nice simple lunch at a cafe at the base of the mountain, and began to hike up to the Gargeti Monastery. As we made our way up, my inexperience in hiking became quite apparent, as I was frequently winded, experiencing altitude sickness, struggled to take even a few steps at a time, and almost fell off the mountain 5 times because of me slipping. However, after about 2.5 hours, I made it to the top of the monastery, promptly collapsed, rested, and made my way up to the last bit of the top so I could actually get the nice viewpoint pictures. I took pictures of Stepansminda and Gargeti from there, and took a taxi down, and I'm sure to get back to Tbilisi because I was too tired to do anything else. And I'm surprised I didn't sleep on the marshrutka, but it was also just moving way too much for me to actually sleep well. Day 9, May 13th, 2024. This day was a rest day. I was exhausted from the climb and needed to do laundry, so I stayed in the hostel and did nothing. My foot was also very sprained, so I had to really remove pressure from it and let it rest because I had to do more hiking soon. Day 10, May 14th, 2024, I met up with Bakar, who assisted me in our dance episode, and together with his family, we went to see the Sokubi State Drama Theater dance rehearsal. The Sokubi State Drama Theater is in exile in Tbilisi following the civil war in the 90s, and therefore they are not located in the occupied Abkhazia region for now. It was amazing to see all these traditional dances, albeit without the traditional costumes, and see how the performance is actually done in-house. What was really cool about it is that it was a mix of traditional and modern, and my mouth was just agape the whole time. It was just fantastic to watch. Seeing how these people moved and everything was just, like, surprising. I was like, how do people do this? Of course, they're Georgians. Of course they can. Afterwards, Bakar and his family and I went to a Georgian restaurant where we talked about a multitude of things and had so much hinkali, and essentially, I need to come back next year. Day 11, May 15, 2024. It was such a beautiful day outside, so I had to go up to the mountains to visit the Ethnographical Museum of Tbilisi, which contains traditional Georgian houses from all over the country, and let's just see how people used to live inside of them. It's not a living museum anymore, but you can actually see how people lived in a time, or just see like how things worked, and there were tour guides everywhere to kind of explain the buildings and how things worked as well. I did want to see the Svaneti Tower on top of the mountain, but that was closed off for maintenance, so I really couldn't make my way inside to see it because the road was closed off. So, a big sad. After this excursion, I made my way downtown to the National Art Gallery. It was a small museum, but had the works of Niko Pirosmani, who's a naive art painter and will get his own episode on Patreon, and a few other people. It was very interesting, and is definitely something you can do in about 30 minutes, if I'm being honest. I'm a quick museum seer, so that was about 30 minutes for me. So, if you want a quick museum visit, it's a cool one to see. It's really fast, just 2 floors. And about 2 rooms on each floor, so not a big place. And then I returned to the hostel and began packing for my trip to Kutaisi. Day 12, May 16, 2024. I took a 5-hour long train to Kutaisi. It was a bit uncomfortable because 5-hour long trains are uncomfortable, but was way more comfy than a marshrutka would be, even though it took longer. I don't like being squished the whole time because it makes my back hurt, and I needed leg space because I don't like my knees hurting either. Upon arriving in Kutaisi, I was greeted by the statue of David Akhmashenebeli, or David the Builder, who we will cover in the future. He was from Kutaisi. I made my way to the hostel and met someone who had just arrived as well, and together we went and walked around the town, made our way up to the Bagrati Cathedral, which had undergone some intense reconstruction after it was almost entirely demolished by the Ottomans in the late 1600s, and from there we went to visit the synagogue in Kutaisi, but that was closed off to visitors for the day. We decided that we were tired from our journey into Kutaisi and around Kutaisi and returned to the hostel and ate inside the hostel cafe, which was very good. I promptly knocked out for the next 12 hours. Day 13, May 17, 2024. We went up to some monasteries. We went to see the Galati Monastery, where David the Builder is buried, as well as Tamar and a few other kings. It was really interesting to see this site, and it is still under reconstruction, It is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So I asked some of the builders about some of the things they were doing, and they said that, you know, construction is slow because you have to do it just right, according to UNESCO guidelines. But at the time, they were just preparing to put up more scaffolding to place new roof tiles because the current roof had metal sheets on them. There's also a holy spring that I drank water from and filled up my water bottle with. And there we enjoyed the sights from the top of the mountain. Then afterwards, we walked down the mountain and were picked up by a taxi driver friend that we made. And he took us to see the town of Skaltubel, which is an old Soviet spa resort and currently has a ton of spas that are abandoned. It was really cool to see, but we really didn't get out to explore and take pictures. After that, we went to the Prometheus Caves. Prometheus is not buried there. He's chained to the Caucasus. He's not in the caves. However, a bonus episode in the works for this. It was a really cool hike through the underground passages with some rather large rooms. I loved it and took many pictures. However, it did get quite humid. However, one family did also annoy me very much because they kept stopping in the middle to take pictures. And of course, since they were in the front of the line and I was right behind them, I kept crashing into them. And the first chance I had, I went out and overtook them and just jumped right over them. They got very mad and just yelled out, "Excuse me!" I told them to walk faster or get out of my way. Or go to the back if they wanted to take pictures and stop. And then I also just talked to the tour guide for a while after that while she was just walking us to the next room. And she agreed that she would be on the next episode on Prometheus Cave. So that would be a fun one. After that, we took the taxi driver out to eat as well. And he recommended a very nice restaurant where we had a bunch of food. A bunch of Bengali. We tried some like mushroom dishes. We had khachapuri. Lots of good stuff. Yeah, so he was very nice just because he basically drove us around all day. So we were like, let's get you food. You're very cool. Day 14, May 18th, 2024. 2 weeks in Georgia, finally. And this is my final full day in Kutaisi. My friend and I went to see several places, such as the Green Bazaar, which is a really cool outdoor market experience. And we got a bunch of chorchella, got some spices. It was really fun. But unfortunately, the remaining places, such as the Giguti Palace and the springs near Bagdati, were both closed. Former, because apparently it's only open Monday through Friday, despite Google saying differently and their website. And the latter was just closed due to construction on the road. So we dropped my friend off at the bus station and returned to the hostel. And some of the other people I made friends with at the hostel were all leaving the next morning. So we went and had dinner together as well. Well, I only had 2 Hengali and soda. I wasn't that hungry. So I had dinner before they invited me out. Day 15, May 19, 2024. This was just a travel day. I went back to Tbilisi, was exhausted with everything. So I didn't do much other than go buy food and rest in the hostel and just chill out. Day 16, May 20, 2024. This is my last full day in Georgia, so I went out souvenir shopping and just kind of seeing last locations. I did go up into the old town, into the Maidan Bazaar, went to like look for different souvenirs for people, which I ended up buying in Krustaveli. Then I went back to the hostel, cleaned my clothes, packed everything I could. And then at the end of the day, I went with one of my friends that I made there to see the Sukishvili performance, which is probably the most popular dance group in Georgia. And it performed worldwide. It was such an amazing performance. And it was such a great way to end the trip. I was excited to just see that. It was an awe. And I took so many pictures and videos of everything. Because everyone else in the crowd was as well. So I didn't feel that bad. If you ever have a chance to see Sukishvili, I highly recommend it. You're going to be amazed with everything. And there's one dance where they fight with swords. And they're using metal swords. And sparks are just flying everywhere. Super cool. Then at the end of the day, before I went to bed, my hostel friends invited me out for like a night out and they're like, "We're going to buy you drinks." I drank water because I had taken my medicine at that point. I'm like, "I'm not drinking tonight because I have to get up early for my plane." So we hung out, we talked, said our final goodbyes. And then the next morning I ate breakfast and flew out. And now I'm back in the U.S. recording this. So everyone, thank you once again for all the assistance, all the support. I will be releasing 2 bonus episodes, one on the Prometheus Caves once I get in contact with the tour guide and set up a time, and then just one about khachapuri as well. Just kind of talk about the different styles of khachapuri, how they're made, and just kind of like the history of what we know about khachapuri. Alrighty, thank you all for your time, and see you next time.
Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East, the very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
The history of Persia is intertwined with conquest. It began with conquest when Cyrus, king of a small city called Anshan, set out to build the greatest empire the world had ever seen. In a series of stunning campaigns, he achieved just that, becoming one of the greatest conquerors in history, and basically started Persian history. After all, you don't get the title the Great for nothing. But he wouldn't be the last great Persian conqueror. Other Persian rulers like Darius the Great, Mithridates I, and Ardashir I would go on to become great conquerors on their own, establishing their own great empires and legacies. If you want to hear their story, and the stories of other great conquerors, many of whom are far less famous despite their great achievements, join me, Ramzi Shalah, on my podcast, The Conquerors Podcast, available on all platforms you listen through.